Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Windows on the World. Mark Windows here, coming to you from the UK. And yes, another rather overcast day here. We've had a nuclear winter for a couple of months, and hopefully it will get better. However, we have news for you today. News from the UK and special guest Sandy Adams. But it has been announced that face coverings will become mandatory in shops in the UK from the 24th of this month. This, of course, is after it was declared mandatory on public transport. The big problem here is that it can't be mandatory, because if you go on public transport and you don't wear a mask, all that you have to do is show them a little bit of paper that you've downloaded which says you're exempt. So you can actually download a piece of paper which says you're exempt. Let's see what it says about wearing masks. It says regulations will be made under the Public Health, the Control of Disease Act 1984, which they've cobbled onto the COVID-19 Act. It says, while shop employees should encourage compliance, the government said retailers and businesses will not be expected to enforce the policy. Well, there's a bit of a problem here then, is there? Because they're saying that the police can be called and you can be fined £100. So once again, it's pantomime, it's not rolled out properly, and it's really down to interpretation. But more than that, it's down to public participation, which is all this is about, getting the public to comply. Also, this Simon Dolan, who tried to take the government to court, and of course was refused the opportunity to do so over the COVID-19 lockdown, has put out some posters which say we are a friendly venue. If you would like to wear a mask, please do. But if you wish not to, then that's fine too. We are not judgmental and we don't enforce anything. So I think that may be the way forward. I have Sandy Adams with me here today, and we're going to be talking about all sorts of things around the controlling system of Agenda 2030, which is the overarching plan of everything, even COVID-19. So welcome, Sandy.
Hello, Mark. Yes, lots going on in the UK this week. I think I mentioned on the show a few weeks ago about the United Nations Environmental Programme. And they've been talking a lot about zoonotic diseases and the crossover between pathogens between animals and humans. And sure enough, this week we've seen that there's a bubonic plague has been confirmed in Inner Mongolia. Just the one case, but it's gone reverberated right around the world. One herdsman in Inner Mongolia, region of China, has been taken down with bubonic plague. And we've got bunny Ebola in the USA, a sort of a horrible Ebola-type disease in rabbits, which they say could jump to humans. Well, bubonic plague and Ebola are quite serious conditions, and I think it's another fear factor that they're bringing in. And Dr. Fauci, of course, he said the H1N1 pig virus, the pandemic, it has pandemic potential. And in the New York Times...
Is that a business plan, pandemic potential?
I think it is, really, isn't it? It is a business plan. Well, the yes. whole thing's a business plan.
Well, we know that,
yeah,
yes.
We know
yeah.
that. Well, we, yeah. don't, we, don't, Mark. We know that, but it's just the others, isn't it?
Mm. What, you mean them?
Them.
Who do you mean by them, Sandy? Oh. Are you some kind of conspiracy theorist?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
I
that's
am.
All right, then. Welcome to the show.
Well, yeah. Well, it's us conspiracy theorists, or what we were called that, weren't we? That we're the ones that really... People are going, oh, maybe they were right. You know,
used to be a conspiracy theorist, now a consultant.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. That's how it should be. But in the New York Times, they're saying, why should we be afraid now that humanity has unleashed a flood of new diseases, that we should be afraid? Because it's actually us. We're so bad. We've unleashed these terrible diseases in the countryside because we have been cruel and we have not taken enough measures to protect the countryside and the the biodiversity. And this is what we're getting at the moment, is this huge push to protect the countryside and take the humans out of the countryside and put them in the smart cities. And this is actually being played out now, really, with the United Nations Environmental Programme and various other NGOs. Like there's one called HE, Biodiversity Targets, and that's another NGO affiliated to the United Nations Environmental Programme. And they've got targets, so they start at number 11, so they've obviously achieved the first 10. And it's all about owning the oceans and the land and everything and the water on it, you know, in it, on it, whatever. And do look at that's HE, spelled AICHI, Biodiversity Targets, and the United Nations Environmental Programme. It's all part of the United Nations website, and they are really pushing this whole zoonotic thing. And you know, they've already said, you know, that specialists, you know, and scientists working at the UNEP, that's the Environmental Programme, have been pulling together the latest scientific facts about the coronavirus, you know, and what we know and what we don't know. And what they're trying to do is really push us into this whole thing that man and nature should be separated.
Well, exactly, yeah, but I was just thinking that rabbits are now going to have to wear masks, aren't they? Can't have them spreading Ebola.
Well, exactly. I mean, the easiest thing is really to get the humans out of the way. Leave the rabbits to the Ebola.
Well, the humans are actually doing a good job of getting themselves out of the way, actually. Oh. I was going to get onto this article a bit later, but I think we may go into it now as you've given us a little segue into it. It's all about the plunging fertility rates. This is actually from the BBC. It says the world is ill prepared for the global crash in children being born, which is set to have a jaw-dropping impact on society, say researchers. Falling fertility rates mean nearly every country could have shrinking populations by the end of the century, and 23 nations, including Spain and Japan, are expected to see their populations halve by 2100. Now, they always put these figures right into the future, don't they? They put them right into the future. But what they're actually talking about is what's happening now. It says countries will also age dramatically, with as many people turning 80 as there are being born. And they ask then, what is going on? The fertility rate, the average number of children a woman gives birth to, is falling. If the number falls below approximately 2.1, then the size of the population starts to fall. In 1950, women were having an average of 4.7 children in their lifetime. Researchers at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation showed the global fertility rate nearly halved to 2.4 in 2017, and their study, published in The Lancet, projects it will fall below 1.7, which is, of course, in decline. Yeah. By 2100. As a result, the researchers expect the number of people on the planet to peak at 9.7 billion around 2064 before falling down to 8.8 billion. Now, I don't understand this, because the reports I've seen from everywhere, pretty much everywhere, especially the European countries, are that the population's already in decline.
Well, they've been fed a narrative. I mean, the population has been falling in Europe for a number of years, because in Europe you've got a whole generation of people that have had to have careers and not had children. And I, you know, you can see this now. People are not having children. They're having their careers because they've, you know, nobody can afford a house, for instance. You can't afford to get a house until you've had a career well into your 40s. And women are leaving it later and later to have children. They're having fewer children, if at all. And this is obvious. And you know, that coupled with the fact that this pandemic or fake pandemic has actually had loads of people dying, particularly the elderly and the infirm, have been dying because they can't access hospital treatment. And then amongst the younger people, there's a very high suicide rate. So all of this put together means that they're getting their depopulation very successfully.
Yes, well, when you look at these things, it all ties together. But the whole point is that people don't look behind this. It's interesting because the other day I was in a queue for a cash point machine, and there was two women in front of me saying what a great idea that coronavirus was, because it was killing people off. Now, this is the sort of nonsense that they've been fed. As we know, that's a false premise to start with, you know. But the idea that there is too many people on the planet has been fed to them, and it's in the education system. So pretty much whoever you ask about it, they're going to say, yes, well, there are too many people on the planet. And it doesn't matter who you speak to, they all say it.
Yeah, they all do. It's been put it's been planted in everybody's brain if they've gone to university or school or whatever, because this is the narrative they want you to believe, but it's actually not true. There's parts of the world where there is an increase in population. You know, you've got some increases in parts of Africa. But at the moment, with this pandemic, India is in big trouble because loads of people are dying. You're not hearing about it on the mainstream media, but there's a massive amount of people dying in India through poverty and shortage of food, which is going on at the moment. You know, this is something that they've always said, and there is some sort of statistic that you hear a lot from people that go against this narrative, who say, well, you could fit the entire population of the world into Texas. I don't know how true that is.
Well, I think someone told me that you could fit them on the Isle of Wight, but I'm not sure about that.
Well, I'm not sure about that, Mark. That seems a bit far-fetched.
Does to me.
It might be true.
Well, I heard it from a conspiracy theorist, yeah.
Texas is more plausible, to be honest, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, the other thing is that the people who say these things usually live and work in cities where they see loads of people. Now, if you go to a lot of places, you don't see anybody, do you?
No, I mean, the thing is that you go into, you go to Canada, for instance, or Australia. You know, basically in Australia, everybody's clinging to the coast because it's the most inhospitable country to live in. You know, you can't live in the middle without actually dying of something. So very, very nasty insect bite. Not many people live in the middle of Australia. Everybody clings to the coast. So therefore, they've got a very, very small population, but it's intensified around the coast. And you'll find the same in all of these places, that most people go into the cities because that's where the work is. And so people will think that everywhere is overpopulated because basically, they're in the city, and it is overpopulated. You go into the tube on a Friday night in London, and it's hell, isn't it? You'd think the world was.
Well, that's why they're saying it, because they live in overpopulated cities, and that's the idea of the UN Agenda 2030, isn't it?
Yeah.
By 2050, two-thirds of the world population will be living in cities, which is why they're building so many of them.
Yeah.
And in the UK, you can see this when we were doing our talks. You've got these new areas being built of thousands and thousands of houses. So they're creating these so-called communities to herd people into. And they're all on these travel routes, which is going to be the HS2 here, obviously. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's all kind of part of the same thing. But it's a problem is that people don't isolate the issue. You know, they're not able to isolate issues and look at things properly, and that's really where you get articles like this, which are kind of mixing things up, because within this article it actually says that in places in Africa the population is going to increase, you see. Mm. But they don't express it in the overall picture. They put it in at the end, so you can see that this has been done from this perspective of kind of UN Migration Compact. That's runs all the way through it. The Migration Compact runs all the way through this article, because they're talking about replacement migration. Mm. Pretty much that's the tone of it. Well, it is the BBC.
Yeah.
But it says, as a result, the researchers expect the number of people on the planet to peak at 9.7 billion around 2064 before falling down at 8.8 billion by the end of the century. Now, this is an interesting thing, because how many people are actually on the planet? The UN have only enforced birth certification since 1990, okay? Mm. A lot of countries have gone along with it, but there are places that haven't. Mm. So a lot of these figures, even though you've got the UN trying to go in and count and manage people all over the place, do we really know? Do we really know how many people are in the world? Because that worldometer, that looks like a bit of a fantasy to me.
Well, it probably is. It's probably a bit like the IPCC's data and all the other data that they're kind of collating at the moment. I mean, we've got all sorts of NGOs whose data is flawed, and I would imagine. I don't know, the Office of National Statistics seems to be about right, but they only cover the UK. Places like Africa, Bill Gates has been trying to get a birth certificate thing going there so that they can actually count the population of Africa because he wants to vaccinate everyone. And also marriage certificates, they don't have those in Africa, most of Africa.
Yes, but Sandy, everyone is going to have the right to a digital identity.
Well, this is it. This is what they're trying to implement. Yeah. So maybe they'll get their true statistics when everybody is digitalized and doing what they, what they intend, us to do, being good global citizens.
It says here, though, it has nothing to do with sperm counts or the usual things that come to mind when discussing fertility, but it doesn't explain or expand on that point. Now, I know from a lot of people who said that they know of their relatives, children of relatives, that the women are not fertile and the men don't seem to be either. They seem to have tremendous difficulty conceiving, and there's no one answer that is being brought forward. People say it could be Wi-Fi. They say it can be environment. They say it can be pollution. They say it can be diet. But no one's actually identifying this. And once you go down that rabbit hole, it is a bit frightening, because I think that is really what it's about. Because when they say it has nothing to do with something, you know that it probably does. But us being conspiracy theorists would say that, wouldn't we? I mean, you'll have bunny rabbits wearing masks soon because they've got Ebola. So if you've got any rabbits, you need to get some little masks for them and make sure they're not spreading Ebola. They have to be responsible citizens. Just because they're rabbits doesn't mean they can breed like rabbits, does it?
This is true. Maybe it's affecting rabbit fertility. Who knows? But I think also, women are having babies a lot later. I mean, my daughter's a midwife, and she says that when she has a youngster come in, any age between 16 and 20, they seem to be able to conceive and have babies far easier. Women aren't actually meant to have babies past 38, 40. It's not good. And the thing is that they end up, having fewer and having problems when they have babies later, because that could be another factor.
I think in the 60s and 70s, most women had their kids in their 20s, really,
didn't they? They did. And actually, that's the most, I mean, to be fair, that's, to be biological, that's the best time for women to have babies. They're not really meant to have them so late in life.
Yeah, but it says here, instead, rather than the falling fertility rates, which they fail or do not want to address. It says, instead, it is being driven by more women in education and work. Oh, no one will be left behind, as well as greater access to contraception, leading to women choosing to have fewer children. So they make it look as though it's a choice here.
It's not a choice. They are economically bound not to have children. They cannot have children because they don't have the money to do so. Or the environment to do so.
Then it gives it away, Sandy. In many ways, falling fertility rates are a success story.
Oh, for God's sake, don't. You make me want to...
Really?
Yeah, that's terrible. I mean, it's just problem, reaction, solution again, isn't it?
Why are you being so negative?
Because I am, Mark.
You're really negative today, aren't you?
I've had enough.
You've had enough. You're not going to take it anymore, are you?
I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm going to say no.
Masks for bunny rabbits. See you after the break. Winners on the world.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Extend your life with
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. Today I'm talking to Sandy Adams. Do call in if you like, 800-313-9443. We're now going to be talking about, don't turn off, we're now going to be talking about the AICHI biodiversity targets. We started talking about them, then we got into the inevitable issue of overpopulation and bunny rabbits wearing masks. So, the HE biodiversity targets, oh, they're a bit like the UN's Sustainable Development Goals, aren't they?
They
in
are
fact, they mirror
bit.
Them, don't they really?
Them. They mirror them, indeed, yeah. The thing is that it's all about protection and connectivity of the ecologically important areas. And they've got targets. They've got targets for the ownership of terrestrial water, global oceans areas, marine areas under national jurisdiction, and they've also got all coastal areas. Now, this is interesting about coastal areas because we've seen coastal areas in the UK under threat through what they call biodiversity. I mean, here in Somerset, on the Somerset Levels, we've got something called adapting to the Somerset Levels, where they're saying that its sea level rise is going to ingress into the it's an area of very low-lying reclaimed land where there's lots of farming going on. And they're saying to farmers, well, I'm sorry, but your farms are going to be underwater soon. So you've got to think of other ways of dealing with your business, like putting your farms on stilts or higher up onto higher ground. Now, we've also dealt with what happens when you've got a whole town in Wales being evacuated under the same sea level targets. Now, this is all part of this thing, this conservation and biodiversity conservation. They call it conservation. It's not. It's destruction, isn't it, Mark?
Well, that's right. And when we went to Fairbourne, we have talked about it a couple of times on the shows, but I think it's very important and interesting to do so because we actually had a solution and they didn't want the solution. And this is a big problem in the UK that not only is there overwhelming apathy, there's overwhelming ignorance as well. And that's a huge part of it because when you try and differentiate what this agenda is about in relation to what biodiversity and sustainable development actually is. People have a huge blind spot because they've been successfully brainwashed into believing the cover story, which is the same with any of these things that are presented as a benefit. Everything is presented as a perceived benefit to the public, and they go, well, why are you being so negative? Only because I know what the real agenda is. And this is the problem. But I think the apathy when we went down to Fairbourne was very apparent, and we got slated by the local press and the national press, which runs this live group, which is the Mirror and the Express. They run pretty much all the local papers through this live online group in the UK. Basically, it's a communitarian press in that they demonise anybody outside the official narrative. So they then encourage the public to attack you. And we've talked about this before. So this is all really very much linked into this wearing of masks, And I like to link things together. Everything is linked together because the whole idea of this mask wearing is to set one section of the public against the non-compliant section. And that is what they're trying to do now. And they're using the police as intermediaries. We talked about this on the show the other day with Vicky Davis. Go back to our show day before yesterday. We covered some extremely interesting stuff on there because we got into communitarian policing. And that is a huge issue because once you start to look at the way that the narrative is controlled locally, you will know the way the narrative is controlled globally. Global to local. Even Lady Gaga said it, didn't she?
Yeah, it's a template.
On the concert where everyone stayed in. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Let's have a concert and stay in. In other words, let's watch telly.
We see, the thing is that everything is being put online. And I had a chat because I deal with a lot of musicians, and I don't know how you know, you guys in the States are dealing with this, but an awful lot of musicians are going online and publishing their stuff on SoundCloud or whatever platform they can, because that's all they can do to make money. Well, very soon they will be owned by those platforms, and that the only way they will be able to perform is online. Well, we here at the King Arthur are going to do it differently. And, you know, the thing is that this is my venue, or was my venue. I've collaborated with others at the moment. But the fact is that live music is a dying thing right now. And they're trying to kill every aspect of our joy, whether it's going to a pub quiz, going to the theatre.
Actually, I've got to interrupt this. I don't find pub quizzes joyful.
All right, no, you
they
don't
actually
have
kill
to,
my
Mark.
Joy.
They kill your joy.
If I walk in for a pint and someone's having a pub quiz, I have to leave.
A lot of people
kills
enjoy,
my joy.
Enjoy a pub quiz.
All right.
But the fact is...
Why am I being so negative?
You're being so negative.
Sorry about
you
that.
You really are. But the fact is that an awful lot of people enjoy live music. Why wouldn't you? You get up and dance. You forget the dreariness of the world, and you just lose yourself for a few minutes, you know, a few hours at your local, you know, doing a bit of dancing, line dancing, whatever it might be. You have fun, you know, you listen to a bit of music. No, forget the line dancing. I saw Mark's face then.
There was a huge non-compliance act at a concert. I'm going to tell you about this in a minute, but we'll be back after yet another break. This is Windows on the World. Yes, do call in. The caller who's Brian, do hold. We'll have you on after the break. See you in a minute, everybody.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Back to Windows on the World. Having quite a lively chat today. We're going off on a few tangents, but they're all related. It's the bigger picture, and that's what we try and bring you on the show. Have we got Brian there on the line waiting?
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble hearing you, but I'm here.
Okay, Brian. Yeah, fire away.
Yeah, you two back and forth on the radio are very pleasant to listen to. You remind me of some 75-year-old couple. I always told them, you know, you guys should be marriage counselors. This is how people should communicate with each other. I'm giving you a little hat tip.
I think the word that we're looking for here, Brian, is rapport, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just very pleasant to listen to.
I'm so glad to hear that, Brian.
That's lovely.
Yes, we're bringing you the bad news, but we cheer.
Yeah, it is bad news, and we try and cheer it up, you know?
You're doing it. So the reason why I called is you were just talking about needing to protect farmland from high water levels raising and climate change and the like. So I'm taking an interview with this guy in British Columbia who considers himself a farming guru, but I think he's a communitarian, would be very helpful. We're going to send to your email, Mark, a link to this guy. You know, he's got a big YouTube channel, and he thinks he's hot stuff. But when he interviews people that are saying, well, we're going to grow microgreens in this big building facility, and those grains we're going to feed to cows, and we're going to have the cows right here in this facility to grow food, and it's just got smart cities and the whole nightmare written all over it.
It sounds like Monsanto.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of this going around, yeah. I mean, with us in the UK, it's the Environmental Agency, and you know they seem to be behind the flooding. I call it the flooding of the Somerset Levels, because it's actually a breaking down of all the infrastructure that stops it from flooding. A bit like what happened in New Orleans with the levees, you know, when the levees were neglected and everything was allowed to flood, and this is part of the program.
Well, it absolutely is, and we've been covering it for years. Well, thanks for that, Brian. I much appreciate that. And you've emailed it to me, have you?
We will after we have breakfast.
Great stuff.
Great.
Yeah,
great.
We don't want to interfere with your enjoyable habits, you know. Couldn't be doing that. So thanks very much for that, Brian.
For them in many ways. So thanks again. Yeah. Over and out.
Thanks, Brian.
Now.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye.
I think we've got Richard there. Is Richard still on the line?
Yes. I agree with Brian. Great conversations you guys have. But I'm going to take this in another direction. There's always been, from my research, elite money creators. And that's how they control us with the money. And how they got to be that, how they got to be the elite, essentially is they knew about celestial progression, solar cycles, and they could use that to kind of indicate what the upcoming future weather was going to be. And that's the situation we're in now. These people, in a way, are looking out for themselves, but they're looking out for us, too, with their programs, because they know that we're in a 4,000-year cycle. And I heard about this on another cycle. I haven't investigated it yet, or on another RBN program. The website is called Adapt 2030,
That's David Dubine, yeah.
Yes, we know him. We've actually done talks with him here in Glastonbury.
He came to Glastonbury last year in October, and we had a fantastic event at our town hall here with him. And absolutely, 100%. We're in the grand solar minimum.
Yeah, we've been covering it, Richard.
Exactly.
We've been covering it in our talks.
Yeah.
And I called earlier and told you about the coming breakdown of U.S. and global markets explained. And the concept was EROI, Energy Returned on Invested. All of this is coming together at the same time, along with the Deagle prediction of increased population reduction, though they don't say why. But they've got us involved. We're slaves. They consider us slaves, useless eaters, consumers.
Yep.
They try to take care of us, but we ignore what the coming future is going to be. We don't have the information that they have. So they engage us with social engineering, which mandates that they have to give us an idea of what's coming up. And if we ignore it and don't pay attention to it, we've given voluntary consent in their program.
That's all it is,
100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's all about consent. And the consent is implied a lot of the time, but it's written into the social engineering documents. In other words, that they gain consent by deception, but the public are completely unaware of this. And that is the problem, that the public
exactly.
Do not
realize. And that's considered fraud. Yeah. And anything created by fraud is void by the initial projection of that concept. And I agree with that totally, but that doesn't, quote-unquote, deal with what you dealt with, I'm assuming. I'm not familiar with that. But David Dubai essentially is telling us that we're going into a possible little ice age, and there's going to be no food for the people. I mean, that's the bottom line. These elites want the food for themselves, not for us. We're expendable. And if you think of it that way, you've got to look out for yourself, and that's the opposition to the concept of communitarianism, is you've got to get in with your neighbors and be self-reliant. So that you can wait out this increased problem that weather is going to bring upon us, because nature is always in control. What we don't realize is we are a organism that is dependent upon positive nature, and when nature kind of goes astray, we can't really become the self-reliant people that we want to be, even though we're very adaptable. That's all I have to say, and I hope you take that into consideration and maybe bring David Dubois on your show again, and I'd really appreciate that. Thank you much.
Thanks, Richard.
Yeah,
that was great.
Thank you,
and what a coincidence talking about David, because, yes, I remember that very well that night. We were gatecrashed by Extinction Rebellion.
We were.
The cult of Extinction Rebellion, who, when asked if they wanted to come on my show, took my card and we never heard from them again. But they walked in and they said, "You're lying." And that was ironic, really, because... Well, hang on a minute. Sandy was actually showing the audience the UN Charter of 1947. And when they said, "You're lying," well, the UN are lying. But it's actually written into their own charter that they are allowed to because they're above all international law. And much more. I haven't got time to go into that at the moment, but that's really interesting. The grand solar minimum, all the rest of it, the control. Yes, they do try and plan ahead. They think of the past and the future, but not the present. This seems to be what's going on. And when I've looked into this, there's two different sides to what people believe in. There's uniformitarianism and there's catastrophism. So most people on the planet have lived 70 years or they live 80 years. So they think in very small terms of time. Whereas if you look at much bigger cycles, you will realize that catastrophic events have happened on a fairly regular basis. And because people only live 80 years or whatever, then they don't realize this is the case because they see things in terms of their own short lives. And what is absolutely comedic is that you get these people who've been mentored into the sustainable development goals and the whole climate change agenda, and they say, "I've been on this planet for 50 years and I've seen the weather changing." Well, yeah, the weather does change every day, but what do you mean by it's changed? And this is a huge problem because people perceive things that they have no idea about and put them into a narrative that isn't true. So when we look at the longer term, of course, there's been comets that have hit the Earth and wiped out civilizations. Once you start looking at all this stuff, you realize that it may seem as though we have a fairly stable planet. But when it does kick off or something hits it, it's a totally different story and everything will be wiped out and it will all have to start all over again. I think these people are aware of that. And once you start looking into it, you realize that, well, maybe they know there's a forthcoming event and they're just safeguarding their interests as much as possible. So, yeah, very interesting stuff. We always get really good callers on this show and thanks for the information. But yes, we're just looking at this. Aichi biodiversity targets and the strategic goal: address the underlying causes of biodiversity loss by mainstreaming biodiversity across government and society, which basically means land grabbing and taking over all infrastructure that affects the livelihood of all people, right? Strategic goal B: reduce the direct pressures on biodiversity, get rid of
humans.
Yeah, promote sustainable use, restrict it and tax everyone into oblivion. Right?
Exactly.
Yes. Strategic goal C: to improve the status of biodiversity by safeguarding ecosystems, get everyone off the land and you're not allowed anywhere near nature, species and genetic diversity. Strategic goal D: enhance the benefits to all from biodiversity and ecosystem services. What? Privatizing of nature.
Yes, of course. And financialising of nature.
Yeah, of course. Strategic goal E: enhance implementation through participatory planning, knowledge management and capacity building. In other words, bring in change agents to control the narrative at all levels, and everyone has been mentored into thinking that there is a catastrophic climate change crisis.
And they're saving the planet and they're being good global citizens.
What's wrong with that, Sandy?
A lot.
Really? Why are you being so negative today? Yeah, I just don't understand it.
Negative,
you are. You've been really negative today. But yeah, this is quite interesting in that it's fixed the template of every other website that's implementing these same goals. Yeah. You know, it's reading between the lines is not that difficult. And that's the thing about this, that it's very, very simple, this program. People go, "Oh, it's really complicated." No, it's complicated because it's everywhere and there's a lot of it. It's not complicated in its execution, really, is it?
No, not at all.
It's actually very simple.
And it's actually presented as this wonderful utopian green thing where everybody will be free of poverty. Everyone will be free of their financial burdens, and it's all going to be fantastic. And it's not. It's a poison chalice. What they're offering you is a sort of sugar-coated pill, but it's actually poison. And, you know, you'll be taxed to hell. That's what green taxes are all about. And worse than that, with this impact investing, every area of your life will be data harvested and financialized. And that's what they want. Whether they're going to get it, whether we stand up and say no, is up to us.
That's absolutely right. And the Internet of Things and all the rest of it, we've talked about this actually, the general effectiveness of artificial intelligence. And this was really the subject of some recent shows that was doing on windowsontheworld.net. We do a show every Sunday, 3:30 p.m. Central Time. It's 9:30 p.m. in the UK. And on those shows, I put together a lot of considerations and look into the bigger picture of what's going on. And what is not factored into any of this is unpredictability. So in other words, artificial intelligence can only use predictive type programming. So anything unpredictable is outside the narrative, which is what I was talking about. Unpredictability actually makes an interference in their intelligence.
Yeah.
And that's something I've always found really interesting, because when you start acting unpredictably, you start seeing them getting shocked. So I've always found that a very useful tool. And how people use it is pretty much up to them. Otherwise, it wouldn't be unpredictable, would it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit like the law of unintended consequences that yes. often crops up in the face of adversity, doesn't it?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Also, it's interesting because I think once you start thinking outside the box, you attract people who also think outside the box. Mm. And that is a genuine worry for those who are trying to put everyone in one.
Yeah.
That's all it is, really. Yeah. And I've had some great conversations recently with listeners to Windows on the World who phoned in and actually got in touch with me, sent me a lot of stuff by email. And I'm regularly in contact with these people now, and they're like an underground network.
Ooh, lovely.
Well, it's a bit like, you know, a secret society, isn't it, really?
Well, that's what it should be, because that's the way you win over things. And that's how the law of unintended consequences triumphs over the agenda.
Well, I think it does. Now, I'm going to bring you a bit of absolute trivia now, because I think it's actually clearly identifies the problem. And I've titled this section, Bleak Lives Matter. Okay. A figure of a Black Lives Matter protester has appeared on the plinth previously occupied by the statue of slave trader Edward Colston. A sculpture of protester Jen Reed. Now, I would say she's an enabler and a change agent, because she's working for change agents. Black Lives Matter are a change agent organization, a group of radical lesbian Marxists who want to destroy the nuclear family. No, it's not a right-wing conspiracy theory. It's on their own website.
Okay. Absolutely.
A sculpture of protester Jen Reed. In other words, someone who's just gone along to this Black Lives Matter thing, to virtue signal, was erected early on Wednesday in Bristol city centre, where the Colston statue was pulled down last month. Miss Reed had been photographed standing on the empty plinth after the Colston statue was toppled during the march. So this narcissist has got up there and virtue signaled to the crowd, and they've gone, right on, sister, you're fantastic, you know. And it says, Mayor Marvin Rees said the statue did not have permission to be installed. So this useful idiot has made this sort of resin statue of this other useful idiot who stood there. And all of a sudden, she's a celebrity. Now, the point is, this is exactly what reality TV has mentored people into.
They In other words,
nobodies with nothing to say become famous for no reason at all.
Yeah, exactly.
In a tweet, Marvin Rees, the mayor of Bristol, said, anything put on the plinth outside of the process we've put in place will have to be removed. Now, isn't that someone who thinks inside the box? Do you know what I mean? Like, who put that into his highly inactive and minuscule brain? Anything put on the plinth outside of the process we've put in place. What process have they put in place here? I mean, basically, they pushed this statue off, right? And they chucked it into the dock. all Bristol City Council have done is retrieve the statue of Edward Colston from the dock and put it somewhere. And they said, we'll put it in a museum one day. Yeah. The plinth is empty, okay? So anything put on the plinth outside the process we've put, we haven't put a process in place.
Well, they have their rules, don't they, councils? They'll have a little caveat somewhere that you have to have a reason for putting another.
Oh yes, but he's talking about their process for the removal. However, we're going to come back with more trivia after the break.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. We're talking useful idiots in the last 5 minutes. We were just talking about this statue that's been put up sort of unlawfully without permission of this useful idiot who was a protester, well, an enabler of global governance, this woman called Jen Reed. And she was there with her little clenched fist looking very earnest. And it's now replaced the statue of Edward Colston in Birmingham, which was pushed off by Black Lives Matter protesters into the dock and has been retrieved by the council. But it says here, artist Mark Quinn said the black resin statue called a surge of power. A surge of power. Oh, dear. Was meant to be a temporary installation to continue the conversation about racism. What conversation?
What conversation, indeed.
What we're talking about. I mean, there isn't really much racism, is there, unless people want it?
Yeah.
And they keep promoting it all the time.
Well, if they incite it, then you get it.
That's right, you do. He said he was inspired to create it after seeing an image of Miss Reed standing on the plinth with her fist raised during the Black Lives Matter protest. So this is real style over content stuff, really, isn't it? I mean, it's the epitome of style over content. Yeah. It couldn't get any more vacuous. Yeah. Just when you thought the world had descended into post-truth, non-entity, non-descriptive banality, we then get this. Don't worry, there'll be another one along tomorrow.
Yeah.
He said he was inspired to create it. Mr. Quinn then contacted Miss Reed through social media and they worked together on the statue, which was erected shortly before 4:30 this morning, I think.
Wow.
How many statues of black... And then it goes on. This is the article. This is funny, right? How many statues of black people does the UK have? Now we are getting into racism, aren't we?
Yeah.
So they can't leave race alone. Image caption. It says, I think it's something the people... He says, I think it's something the people of Bristol really appreciate seeing, he assumed, right? Mm. So we put it up at 4:30 in the morning, and by now he's sure they all like it, you know. Mm. He's obviously convinced that they love it. And my husband took the photo on the day of the protest and put it on his social media. Oh, yeah, that's right, of this woman, Jen Reed. He was contacted by Mark Quinn, who then contacted myself. I was in his studio by the Friday after the protest with 201 cameras surrounding me, taking pictures of me from every conceivable angle. Oh, she's not a narcissist then, is she at all? You know, no narcissistic personality going on here. You know, I'm going to stand on a plinth and make myself a statue. A slightly, you know, sort of exaggerated sense of self-importance, don't you think?
I think so.
Yes, it went into a 3D print and a mould was made. Miss Reed said the sculpture was important. You see, this is the thing, right? He didn't even bloody make the sculpture.
No.
It's been done by a 3D print. I mean, this is outrageous.
Yeah, it's not art. It's not art, is it?
It's not art.
If it's a 3D printer, it's not art, in my view.
No, not art in my view either. Miss Reed said the sculpture was important. Well, she would, wouldn't she? It's all about her.
Of course, yeah. she wants to be famous.
Because it helped keep the journey towards racial justice and equality moving. She said she had felt an overwhelming impulse to climb on the plinth during last month's protest, as every narcissist does.
Yep.
Okay. So she said, when I stood there on the plinth and raised my arm in a black power salute, it was totally spontaneous, she said. Well, I don't think it was. I think it was something you've seen before, really, wasn't it? I don't think it was something that came up your highly inactive and minuscule brain. That's all we've got time for. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks to Sandy.
Thank you.
It's been a blast. Thanks for the callers. And see you tomorrow. We all know you're out there.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.